Here we go.
A thousand generations falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the high, your name is the great, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
And the angels cry,
holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever.
And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in, you should do a harmony there. And if you bear his name, oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. Oh,
we'll sing a song forever. Above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, yeah. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and positions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
And you meet
those cry, holy, all creation cries.
Previous slide, yeah. Have unnecessary two X's.
Okay.
And so I'll ignore them.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Your name stands.
this one and the next one, because I do the first one by myself, and then the next one we do together, so we don't do the whole thing twice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And then the next one is we do that straight through too.
Yeah.
All right.
And
cool.
Then I wanna copy the bridge and put it at the end.
Your name.
Just copy both those, both the chorus and the. I'll do it. It's gonna sound stupid when I say it. So all right. And then I want to go back into that. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest.
Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all.
All, I guess.
All them, of them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Word, yes.
I just got super sad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I'm going to go hide in the corner.
No! Oh, sorry.
I'm going to sing in the corner.
No! All right, we're done.
All right.
Guys, thank you. Thank you.
I'm hungry.
What do I got? I got a yogurt.
It's okay. I'm going to wait for my change
Shanta
to come.
Hey, Shanta just got here. Go see if there's cake. Shanta just got here. There might be cake.
Breakfast cake.
Yeah. Cake for breakfast.
All right, all go to bed. Imaginary ones that live inside my head. Dark shadow creatures on the walls like to listen. Until the sun comes up, I think I'll keep pretending. I might be going, going crazy. I might need someone here to save me. Loose these chains and restraints, come set my soul free. I might need someone here to save me. Save me. Oh.
Good morning, Ascend Church. All right. Well, we welcome you to stand with us as we worship this morning. You guys are too quiet to be in the house of God. Somebody shout out a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you in this house today, God. Thank you, Lord.
That he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. If he said it, he will do it. We serve a God who keeps his promises.
God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you said.
Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. The seasons change, you remain the same. Yeah, yeah. Here we go. God, from age to age, though the earth would pass away, your word remains the same. Yeah, your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Setting same, I will praise your name. Yeah, great is your faithfulness to me.
Your faithfulness never runs out.
Ground.
He's my hope.
My hope.
from the rising sun to the setting, same hour. Praise your name.
Come on, let's keep it right there. Come on.
From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name.
No matter what it looks like.
From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting, same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting,
Lord. At this moment in the service, we'd like to welcome our prayer partners to come forward. And if you're in need of prayer this morning, we want to welcome you. We want to pray and agree with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So don't be shy. Lord, I thank you that what you said you'll do, you'll do, and you've done, and you've shown me, you've shown your hand over and over again, and I can boldly declare that I will see a victory. It doesn't matter what I'm looking at. It doesn't matter what's standing in front of me. I know that if my God is with me, I shall prevail. I have won. The battle is the Lord's. So it is won, and my victory is sure. If that's you in this place, somebody give them praise. Give them a hallelujah. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. And my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, oh. Yeah. Come on and sing this out. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. And every war he wages, he will win. Oh, and I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story, come on somebody declare it, yes I know how this story ends.
Oh, I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. victory,
for the battle
belongs to you, Lord.
Declare,
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory,
for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. Belongs to you, Lord.
Oh, I wanna worship my way through. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah. I want y'all to declare this with me this morning. Come on. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I feel a turnaround in this room. Come on. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Come on.
You take what the enemy meant for evil,
and you
turn it for good.
You turn
it for good.
Hey.
You take what the enemy meant for evil,
and you turn
it for good.
You
turn it for good.
You
take what the enemy meant for evil,
and you
turn it for good. Turn it for good.
Victory,
for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Come on. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I don't want the music to drown out your declaration. Come on. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Yeah, you turn it for good. You're turning it around.
You take what the enemy meant for evil,
and you
turn it for good.
You turn
it for good.
Yeah.
The enemy meant for evil,
and you
turn it for good. Whoa. Turn it for good.
You take
what the enemy meant for evil, turn it for good.
Yeah.
Turn it for good.
Whoa.
You take what the enemy meant for evil,
and you
turn it for good.
Sing this out. I'm gonna see your victory. Your word.
I'm gonna see your victory.
Come on.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory.
for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Anybody sense that in this room? Can you feel it in the atmosphere? Hallelujah.
None like you in all the earth, and none beside you in all of heaven. We declare that you are holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, we honor you, God. Here we go.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. All who've gone before us, all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever.
And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, we'll sing a song forever to the Lamb. Oh, we'll sing the song forever and amen.
And the angels cry, say, holy, all creation cry. Holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be.
For me right here.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
Come on and help me say,
your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name is hands above them all.
Thrones,
thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry,
holy,
all creation cries,
holy,
you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy,
will always be holy, holy forever. Yeah, yeah.
You will always
be your name, holy, holy forever. Your name.
Father, we glorify you in this place. We are honored to come and worship you. Your name is the highest, Lord Jesus. We acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give you all honor and all glory in this place. Family, if he has touched your life, if he has saved you, if he has forgiven you, if he has been faithful to his promises in your life, the sound of worship come out of your mouth, because he is worthy. He is worthy. You alone are worthy. We exalt you, Lord, for all you've done. We thank you that you are the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You are the one who laid down your life on our behalf. You are the one who was raised from the dead. You are the one who reigns supreme. You sit at the right hand of the Father over every power, over every dominion, over every authority in heaven and on earth. There is no name that is higher than your name. There is no God that is higher than our God. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the praise throughout eternity. Worship the God who you serve. We have to worship the God who we serve. The way to enter his presence is to bow your knee in worship. The way to enter his presence, family, when we meet him face to face, you will have no control but to bow your knee and worship him. When we realize the extent of his greatness, of his magnitude, of his majesty, of his all-sufficient glory, when we realize that he is the one who created heaven and earth, when we realize that he is the one, he is the King of the universe, he spoke out of his mouth and all things were created, when you know that that is who you've served, you have no other response but worship before our God. Father, we glorify you in this place. Let's sing that one more time.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position, your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position, your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and position, your name stands above them all.
And the angels cry, all creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy. You're holy forever.
As a family right now, we are aware of the greatness of the name of Jesus. And so whatever you have that's come against your life, if you feel that there's opposition, if there's sickness, if you're facing challenges, if you've got trouble with your marriage, you've got trouble with your children, you've got trouble that, with depression, whatever it is, and wherever the devil's coming against you, I'm going to take authority in the name of Jesus. Every knee bows to the name of Jesus. Even to those that are watching online, whatever it is you're facing right now, I just speak the name of Jesus. I command every knee to bow to the name of Jesus. Sickness, go from their bodies. Demonic influence, go. Depression, go. Cancer, go in the name of Jesus. Father, division and strife and anxiety and fear, go in the name of Jesus. You bow your knee to the name that is above every name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We take authority. We use the name of Jesus. It's not just to sing about, but we use the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a weapon in our hands. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them you're glad they're here. How wonderful to see you in church today. Then our worship team do such a beautiful, give them a round of applause. We just, they don't do it the performance. They literally worship God in front of us and lead us into His presence. So we're so thankful for them. And we're glad that you've joined us this morning. You're looking good. I know people have been coming and going through the summer. So when you're gone, we miss you. And when you're back, we're happy to see you. And to those that are watching online, welcome to the service this morning. So glad you've joined us. We've been praying for you through the week. We pray for you today that the Lord reaches out and touches you right where you are, that you hear a word from heaven today that has an impact on your soul. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm glad to be in church. Is it warm in here or is it just me? It's warm. It's just me. Is it called a hot flush? No. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad you're in church today. I'm excited for the Word of God, which is always life-changing. I'm excited for I love the fellowship that we have together. You know, there's one thing that the Lord is building in the earth today, and that's the church. The church. That's what's on His heart, and it should be on our heart. So I'm so glad that you're a part of church today, a part of our community. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service here, we won't embarrass you. Wherever you're sitting, we just want you to let us know where you are. We can hand you a visitor pack. If you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand and let us know? God bless you. Come on. Oh, glad you're here. Wonderful. If you just keep it up until someone sees you. Sometimes people do that. It's hard on the ushers. But thank you for joining us today. We'll probably find out afterwards how you came to be here. Maybe someone invited you. But I always feel like the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord directs our footsteps. And so I pray that as you've come here today, whatever it is that you need, that God speaks to you. Amen. And we'll just stay behind if you don't mind. Just greet us afterwards. We'd love to chat to you. And there's a card that says guest. If you wouldn't, or it says, there's one that says connect. If you just wouldn't mind filling your name out on that. And in a little while, we'll pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that in, and it gives us a chance. Gives Pastor Steve a chance to give you a call. So thank you for doing that. Beautiful granddaughters. Samantha's got her granddaughters. It's beautiful, beautiful. Glad. Just as I said, we have people that watch online, people watch on YouTube. Welcome this morning. I love that it's available after the fact that you can go back and watch the services. People watching on Facebook Live, so glad you've joined us today. Let us know where you're watching from. Go ahead and share the link. It's a way to reach out. You know, I have a friend in South Africa who's was my best friend when I was young, and she's been going through some health issues, and it's so nice that even with the distance, you're able to share a message, you're able to share a prayer, you're able to send a worship song that you think that they would be blessed with. So you never know, sharing a live stream like this, you never know who needs it and whose life it will touch. But we're so glad that you've joined us today. You can also watch on our mobile app. If you haven't downloaded that, download it. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. All of those things are up here. And we just like to have various ways. You know, the way the church world has gone just because of the internet is that our reach is far bigger than these four walls. And I love that. I love that. But this is a time in the service where we are going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. I'm glad you like it. Michelle gave us her great testimony. She said she felt prompted of the Lord. I told this last week, but some of you weren't here. But she felt prompted of the Lord to give a certain amount. She's a faithful tither. But she's an English teacher, and she teaches some college courses. But she felt prompted of the Lord to give over and above. And sure enough, we shouldn't even say surprisingly, inevitably, a door opened for her to begin doing something extra that is bringing in exactly what she gave towards. And so praise God for the faithfulness of His word. I love that we sing about His faithfulness, because I think we could stop and have a testimony service about the faithfulness of God. Amen. I like to read a scripture as we receive the offering. And today I'm going to read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians 9. Paul's writing, you know, all these, after the book of Acts, everything are letters written to the church. So anything that's written to the church is of benefit to us as believers, because we're still the church, right? We're the church in the earth. And so he writes this to the church in Corinth. And he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now that's like a whole message. There's like every word has got a message in that right there. Give cheerfully, don't give in response to pressure, decide in your own heart how much you give. But firstly, I want to say that, you know, we know that God is leading us. The Bible says He is. So how does He lead us? First of all, He leads us by His word. That's the ultimate truth. And so we follow His word when it comes to that, to giving, as we do with any area of our life. And we know that the word of God tells us to bring our first tenth, our tithe, into the kingdom of God, and we do that. Amen. I know we have many, many faithful tithers in this church, people that give online. Pastor Stephen, I've been made a point to tithe. We made our kids, we kind of had to twist their arm to tithe at first, but eventually they became tithers on their own. So we follow the word of God first of all when it comes to how to give. And then second of all, we are led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about them giving over and above. And he said, decide in your own heart. Let God direct you, just like Michelle did. God directed her to give, not because she was pressured. I was twisting her arm and saying, give some more, Michelle. No, we weren't. No one was doing that. And she did it cheerfully because she was led by the Lord, right? And so notice it says decide in your heart, not in your head, because I tell you what, your head will always tell you. You can't afford to tithe. Don't give over and above, because you never know what if your car breaks down tomorrow? What if this happens? So never decide with your head. Always decide according to the word of God and by your heart. Amen. And then I'll read the last couple of verses after that. Verse 8, he says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have all you need. Say, I'll always have all I need. Amen. And plenty to left over to share with others. That's what we all want. Otherwise, it's selfish, isn't it? Lord, bless me. Take care of my needs. No, bless me to overflowing so that I can bless other people, right? And verse 9, as the scriptures say, they share freely, they give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So we have seed because God wants to provide us with bread. He wants to provide us with a harvest. Amen. And so thank you for being faithful today. Be faithful to the Lord, be faithful to His word, be faithful to His leading, and that's the way that He brings a harvest of blessing into our life and a harvest of generosity where we can become more generous. How many of you want to give more than you've ever given before? I'll put my hand up. We want a harvest of generosity so that it just keeps flowing to other people. Amen. Well, as you get ready to give, there are envelopes in the seats where you are. Those that are watching online, you can just click give. You can go to our website. Safe and secure, very easy to do. If it's the first time you've given, you'll just have a quick setup, and after that, it's just simple. And the Zelle is also a way to give with the church email address that's under PayPal. Very simple. That's no fees involved. Thank God. Who wants to be giving fees to the bank, right? But there's various ways to give just to make it more convenient for you. I heard somebody say this. He said, he held somebody up and said, give me all your cash. And the guy was like, can I Venmo you? Because nobody carries cash. Nobody, you know, so we're so used to this. And that's why we make these ways to give that are easy. But I'm going to pray over you, pray over your family, pray over your finances. Father God, we thank you for every faithful tither and giver. We seek your kingdom first. We want to see your kingdom come, your will be done. I thank you for the blessings that are attached to giving. I thank you for you promised the windows of heaven to be open above us. So I thank you, Father, for blessing pouring down upon your people. I thank you for doors of opportunity. I thank you for favor in the marketplace. I thank you for new contracts, new witty inventions, new ideas, Father God. Thank you for opening doors of opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for a harvest of blessing and a harvest of generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, ushers, go ahead. Visitors, if you'll drop that card in there, we'd appreciate it. And as Pastor Steve comes up, I'm going to show the youth video. We've got a 2 minute. Okay.
While they're getting this video ready, just wanted to talk a little bit about the conference, just briefly, and then we're gonna play this video, which is a recap video that Michelle put together, and then we're gonna have a time for two testimonies from Hannah and Micah, because I just want to go up first, say thank you for everyone who donated and sponsored these kids, because can we give a hand clap for them? Because going through there, and it was Wednesday and Friday, we just got back Saturday, and I can tell you that the Lord moved mightily on these young kids. I was seeing 13-year-olds beginning to pray in the Spirit, receive their prayer language for the first time, get slain in the Spirit, getting deliverance. It was something that I've never seen before, that it could. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. There's no junior Holy Spirit. But fire from heaven was falling on these kids. And it was laughing, the spirit of joy, the spirit of weeping. Like stuff that we've seen probably happen on adults, but it was thousands, it was 3,000 young kids that were just being encountered by the presence of God. So we just want to take a moment to just show this video. And then Michelle's going to come up and do testimonies with Micah and Hannah. So enjoy it.
Through the Bible, God came and found somebody.
God!
He always found the ones that were pushed aside.
I want your fire!
And the Lord said, I might use that one there. Everything God's going to do with you is already on the inside of you. You get the fire of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing stopping you.
A generation not changed by this world is a generation that will change this world. These that have turned the world upside down have come among us.
God will send you with power to go to places and deliver his people. That means wherever you go, people look at you, they say, I see Jesus in your eyes. I hear Jesus in your voice. I feel Jesus in your touch.
That's Micah and Jesse.
And when you speak, you will not speak like other people speak, where the words fall to the ground. When you speak, your words will carry weight. Don't let anyone tell you that you're too young.
Amen, amen. Could we have Micah and Hannah come up to the front, please? They're going to share their testimonies. Can we give them a round of applause as they come up? Taking a step of boldness, sharing this. It takes a lot, but we appreciate you guys. I'm going to let Michelle do a little Q&A here.
All right, so just before we do that, I'm like, putting that video together, I was just like being reminded of being in that room, and that was just a glimpse. It's hard to encapsulate everything that we saw, and what Abel shared too about seeing, 3,000 kids, they were so hungry. And our belief and our understanding of just who God is that hunger is going to increase in our youth. And they kept talking about how every year they see double. So we're believing we took 7 this time. We're going to take 15 next year, maybe more. And then after that, it's going to keep increasing. So I just want to say thank you again to everybody who sponsored even a small amount. The fruit, the seed that you've sown will bear great harvests and fruit. And so we're just going to talk real quickly to Jesse and Micah. So Micah, I'm going to start asking this. So on Friday, he goes, can I tell you something really cool that happened today? And I was like, yes, please. So can you share that with everybody, what you shared with me?
So what happened on Friday was we were at dinner at, what was the place called, Millie's? So we went to a restaurant, and I got baptized that day. And I really didn't want to do it, but then the Holy Spirit told me that, go do it. And when I did it, it changed me. I couldn't get out of the water, and because I was with God, and I was speaking with him, and when what he told me was, he's always with me, and that I will love you to the end of days. And that really made me sad. I couldn't talk that day, so that's when I told them on Friday that night. I was happy. I wasn't sad.
Gosh, all right, Hannah, you got so many things you want to share, so choose one and let them know.
On our first altar call that we had on Thursday. I felt led by the Holy Spirit to go up because he was teaching about something that I had been like thinking of, and it was about like not being lukewarm and being hungry for the Holy Spirit and giving him your all. And I had been thinking about how I was lacking in that department. So, and he preached on it that day, and I told God, like, give me one chance to show you that I will give you everything. And I went up to the altar call and I received my prayer language. So that is great. And being there was honestly a great experience, and I really understand what it's like to be hungry now for that. So.
All right. So one more thing they said, they repeated, they were like, youth leaders, if you take this back and you don't bring the fire with you, then what were you doing? They were very, very on point to be like, don't let this be a mountaintop experience. So what I want to share with you guys as a family is that you see these two up here. We had more. We're going to have even more. Continue to pray for our youth. Continue to, like, if you feel led to mentor one, like, really, I'm sure you're seeing it too, but what's about to come in the move of God is going to come through the youth, through the children. But that does not mean we're absent from the move of God. There's a different role that we're going to play as the elders, the older ones, the leaders, to establish them, because our ceiling is their floor. So as you see our youth, as you see more things, just continue to pray for them and for our youth group and for this generation and all of that. So thank you.
Thank you. And we just want to say thank you to Abel and to Michelle for everything that they do for Ascend Youth. And our youth meet every other Sunday. Not today, so you're taking a break. But usually it's every other Sunday. So would it be next Sunday? Two Sundays' time. At 5 p.m. on Sunday, right? So it looks like they had a great time. Amen. And I really pray that next year that we'll have a lot more young people go, because, you know, the Lord touched my life when I was 16. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but when I was 16, I received Jesus, and my whole life's changed. And the same for my wife, Jill. And, you know, they say that 80% of people that receive the Lord do so before the age of 18, that the best time to reach someone is before the age of 18. It becomes harder every year you get older. So we really have a heart to reach the young people and see them set on fire for God. Amen? So praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to pray one more time. We're going to get right into the Word of God today. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy to us. We thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to the earth to redeem us. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And Jesus, you said that if we abide in your word and your word abides in us, that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And I thank you, Lord, that your word brings freedom in every area of our life. I thank you, Lord, for anointing your word as it is spoken today. I thank you for carrying your word to every person's heart and every mind, and that you bring understanding and revelation, and you stir us up and cause our faith to get even bigger, Lord. Thank you that our faith rises up, Father, to trust you and believe you. No matter what we face, we know, Lord, the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. We give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, I want to speak to you about embrace change. Tell your neighbor, embrace change. Now, one of the One of the most difficult things, I think, for most of us is change. And one reason is because we get comfortable with where we are in life. We get used to where we are. We get used to our friends. We get used to our job. We get used to where we live. And we accept it because it's familiar. But when we're not willing to change, often we get stuck in what God did in the past instead of growing and moving forward to what God wants to do in the future. And one thing is certain, change is inevitable. People change, jobs change, styles change, hairstyles change. The mullet used to be in, then it went out, now it's back in again. When I was young, skinny jeans were in, then it went to bell bottoms and skinny jeans came back. You got to realize that even seasons change. God has designed us to need change, but so many times we fight against it. We hold on to what's familiar. You know, it's what we're used to, it's what we're comfortable with, but you've got to stay open to what God is doing right now. Because what worked 5 years ago may not work today. If you're going to be successful, you've got to be willing to change. Amen? In the Song of Songs, and the Passion Bible calls it the Song of Songs, and most other Bibles call it the Songs of Solomon. And in chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purpose and my plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whisper there is change in the air." Tell your neighbor, there's change in the air. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible tells us, it says, "So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." One of the purposes of our lives as Christians, followers of Christ, is to become more and more like Jesus. And that means the Christian life is about constantly changing. That's how you become like Christ. I mean, if we're not careful, we get stuck in a rut to where we're not growing, we're not stretching, we're not using all of our potential. And that's one reason God sends change, because He doesn't want us to stay stuck where we are. And sometimes the very things we fight against, the things that we think are trying to pull us down, is actually the hand of God trying to push us into a new season. This is how God works. God will stir you out of comfortable situations and put you in situations that make you stretch, that make you have to trust Him, situations that force you to use your faith. And you may not like it. It may be uncomfortable. But God loves us too much to leave us alone. And let me tell you, just like God can supernaturally open doors, do you know that God can supernaturally close doors? In Revelation 3, verse 7, it says, "Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia. For these are the solemn words of the Holy One, the True One, who has David's key, who opens doors that no one can shut, and who closes doors that no one can open." Now, we all love when a door opens, but sometimes we don't like it when a door closes. But God can open doors for you, and sometimes God can close doors for you. Don't fight against the closed doors, because that can be God leading you. Nothing happens by accident. God is directing your steps. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And the Passion Bible says, within your heart, you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps that you take to get there. That means maybe a friend does you wrong, or you go through a setback, or you lose a job, or you lose a loved one. You can either embrace that change and God will use it to take you up higher, or you can resist it and end up missing God's direction. We got to stay open for change. Don't approach change from a negative viewpoint to where you just assume it's going to be bad. It may seem negative on the surface, but God wouldn't allow it if he didn't have a purpose for it. He'll use it to stretch you and push you into a new direction. What may have been a perfectly fine situation for years, suddenly you see a stirring taking place. Maybe you thought that you're going to be at that job for the next 20 years. But for some reason, the people that were behind you, they're not behind you anymore. You don't have the favor that you used to have there. Seems like every day is an uphill battle. What is that? That's God stirring things up. And it's easy to get negative and bitter. And Lord, why is this happening? I thought I had your favor. I don't understand it. A much better approach is to stay open and believe that God is in control of your life and that he is directing your steps. In Proverbs 20:24, the Bible says, it is the Lord who directs your life. Each step you take is ordained by God to bring you closer to your destiny. So much of your life then remains a mystery. You see, one thing about following the Lord is he doesn't show you everything in the future. Very often he just shows you the next step. Then when you take the next step, then he shows you the next. He doesn't always lay it all out. He wants you to walk by faith. In Psalm 16, verse 5, it says, I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. In Proverbs 16, verse 4, it says, the Lord works everything together to accomplish his purpose. Say, God is working everything together to accomplish his purpose in my life. And in Psalm 138, David said, the Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. That's one thing that I declare over my life. Lord, I thank you that you will work out your plans for my life. Not my will, but let your will be done. See, if you will embrace change and trust that God is directing your steps, then the winds that you thought would defeat you will actually be the winds that push you into your destiny. So you got to stay open to change because so many people resist it. They try to hold on to things that God's been done with for years. Maybe in a relationship. Deep down, you know that it's not good for you. You know that person's keeping you from being your best. But we think if we change, and we're not going to have any friends. We're going to lose that friend. We don't want to be lonely. We don't want to rock the boat. That's why sometimes God has to turn the boat over. Sometimes God has to force you to move forward. Not because he's mean and he's trying to make you miserable, because God wants you to reach your full potential. So sometimes God will cause a friend to walk away or even do you wrong, because he knows if he doesn't close that door, we'll never move ahead. He knows 30 years down the road, they'll still be dragging us down. So sometimes God will close that door. Don't be discouraged over people that leave your life. Ask me. I know. Don't get discouraged over people that leave your life. You may have a friend or a coworker or an associate that walked out of a relationship with you, and you're kind of a little bit down, thinking, oh, it's the end. But you got to realize it's just the beginning. God wouldn't have stirred that up if he didn't have something better in store for you. Amen. You may think they were doing you wrong, but they were really doing you a favor. You got to just blow them a kiss, wave goodbye. Don't look back. Keep on moving forward in your life. I'm saying when things start stirring in your life, that's a sign. Transition's coming. Change is coming. New levels are coming. Moses said this In Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, Moses said, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreads its wings to catch them, and carries them on his feathers, so the Lord alone led his people. It compares God leading you to an eagle stirring the nest. Now, when an eagle mother builds a nest, she layers that nest with thorns and rocks and branches. It seems kind of unsuited for a resting place of a nest. But after she finishes the base with the thorns and the branches and the rocks, then she lines it with a soft padding of feathers and fur and wool and pine straw. And that's where she lays her eggs. And that's where the newborn chicks start receiving the nutrition that they need to grow. But when those birds reach the age where they're ready to fly, in order to get the eagles to use the eaglets to use their wings and fly, that mother has to stir them out of the nest, because they otherwise would leave that nest. They would never learn to fly. So she stirs the nest. She starts bringing up the thorns and the rocks, and she starts removing the feathers and the wool, and she exposes the chicklets to the branches that becomes uncomfortable. They're not comfortable anymore. She provides the necessary change in her baby's environment, makes it uncomfortable enough to prompt them to want to fly. Then she takes the egglet, puts it on her wing, and she flies with the egglet, and then you know what she does? She drops them. And they go falling down to the earth. But the eagle is faster. She flies faster than those egglets can fall. And she swoops down and she catches the little egglet on her wing. And then she takes them up high again and drops them. And she keeps doing it until they activate their wings and they learn how to fly. And can I tell you, if she didn't stir that nest, they would never have a desire to fly. They would never learn how to soar above the storms. And you know the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and they will rise up, with mount up with wings like eagles, and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. The Bible says that we, when we wait on the Lord, we become like that eagle. And God wants you to be like an eagle, so that when things are stirring in your life and things are getting uncomfortable and changes are taking place, you don't immediately think, well, why do I get all these bad breaks, Pastor Steve? Nothing good ever seems to happen to me. No, you need to have the attitude, God, I know you're in control of my life, and I believe that you're stirring things up, because you're about to open a new door in my life. You're about to take me to a higher level. I'm about to soar, learn how to soar above those storms. Amen. I read that people who live to be over 100 years have one common quality. They are able to accept change. When a season is over, you've got to learn to accept it and get ready to embrace the new season. That means stop talking about that job you lost. Stop talking about that relationship that didn't work out. Stop talking about that setback that you had. Stop talking about that mistake that you made. This is a new day. You got to learn to accept where you are right now. Learn to embrace that change, because so often we try to hold on to the old. I've had people tell me, oh, this is how we did it when I was growing up. These are the songs we used to sing when I was in church. This is how our pastor used to minister. We didn't have guitars, and we didn't have lights, and we didn't have anything like that. We had an organ. Listen, you got to realize that was good in the past, and what was good in the past and what was right for the past. But God is a progressive God, and He likes to do new things. And if you're going to be your best, you've got to learn not only to accept change, but to embrace change. I know some people who've been in the same church year after year after year. They don't really get much out of it. They don't really even enjoy it. They're not growing. They're not being challenged. But they wouldn't dare do anything, try anything different, because their family's been in that church for 50 years. I mean, great-granddaddy used to sit on this pew back in the day. Now I sit on this pew, and my kids sit on this pew. This is our pew. They are stuck in tradition, and tradition is not bad, but traditions can change. How about starting a new tradition for your family? I'm all for being loyal and sticking with something, but I also know you've got to put yourself in a place where you're going to grow and where you're going to be challenged, not just in your church, but in your relationships, in your job, in your career. You got to recognize what was good in the past, what was right for the past, but we can't try to hold on to something that was right for us at one time, but it isn't right for us anymore. Maybe that season's over. Not that it was a bad season. It's just this is a new day, and God wants to do a new thing. It's great to have organs in church, but it's also great to have guitars in church. It's great to sing old hymns, and sometimes we do, but it's also great to sing new songs. It's great to have ministers who are more formal and teach and explain theology and doctrine, but it's also great to have people who make scripture practical and teach us how to apply it in our own lives today. Can you say amen, someone? You know, it's interesting to me, in Acts chapter 2, the disciples and the 120 people that were in the upper room, they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. There was a great outpouring of God's Spirit. It was a big celebration. I mean, they all were rejoicing. People heard about it from all over. They came to see what was happening. That day, 3,000 people were added to the church. It was the biggest thing that had happened to the early church and to those disciples. And so they began to stay around Jerusalem, because that's where this all got started. That's where they were comfortable. They stayed in Jerusalem. But remember, when Jesus appeared to them in Acts 1, he told them there'd be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the ends of the earth. But they stayed. They didn't leave Jerusalem. You see, where something starts is not always where it finishes. I imagine any time they had a problem, any time they felt discouraged, they probably said, let's go back to the upper room. Let's go sing those songs we sang 20 years ago. Let's see if God will do the same thing that he did then. I know some people who are sitting around waiting for God to do the same thing that he did 50 years ago. And all the while, God is saying, come on now, I want to do a new thing. Don't get stuck in the old. I'm opening up a new door. It's easy to take a treasure and turn it into a tradition. Oh, man, if it could just be like it used to be, the good old days. God is saying, let go of the old, because I've got some good new days coming for you. What God wants to do in your future, let me tell you, it's going to supersede what God's done in your past. But you can get stuck in tradition, or stuck in a job where you're not growing, or stuck in a relationship that you know God is stirring you out of that. Stuck in a neighborhood that's hindering you. Stuck with wrong mindsets, bad attitudes, limited thinking. In Ephesians 4:23, the Bible says, it says now your attitudes and your thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. The Bible says we're supposed to constantly be changing in our attitudes and in our thoughts. We've got to be open to change, willing to change our attitude. Don't be surprised in the coming days if you see God begin to stir things up. Maybe you have some persecution come against you, people talking about you, maybe some unfair treatment. Don't get discouraged, even if it looks like a bad break. In reality, it's God stirring things up. He's opening a door to take you to a new level. Don't keep running back to the old friendship, the old attitude, the old tradition. God does things in seasons. And it's not that the old was bad. It's not that the friend that you had is not a great person. But maybe that season's over. That job may have been great for you for a time, but now God's trying to push you in a new direction. So he's going to stir you out of that situation. Sometimes they'll even close the door and force you to make a change. I read about these two men who were co-workers. They worked at a home improvement store. One was the CEO, the other one was the VP of finance. They both got fired. There was an internal power struggle, and they both were fired. And it was very uncomfortable for them. But they had a vision to create a one-stop store for the do-it-yourself. And their names were Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank. They started Home Depot in 1978. Today, there's over 700 Home Depot stores. But if God hadn't closed that door and pushed them forward, they would have never have been so successful. You see, when things are stirring in your life, when doors are closing, change is taking place, don't get into doubt and say, oh, no. Oh, another problem I've got to deal with. Why can't anything seem to go my way? No, stay in faith. Stay open. It could be that God is using that to push you into your divine destiny. Can you say amen? In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. And he had a great revival, and miracles happened. And multitudes of people came to Jesus and were baptized. It doesn't say that Philip prayed and decided to go to Samaria. He didn't have a choice. The persecution that came against the church in Jerusalem forced Philip. It pushed him out of his comfort zone and forced him to go to Samaria. Don't you know that the same God who poured out the Holy Spirit could have stopped the persecution? I mean, God, didn't he close the mouth of lions when Daniel was in the lion's den? Surely God could stop those people from talking about him. No, the persecution was for a purpose, because God used it to get Philip to where he wanted him to be. It was in Samaria that Philip saw the greatest days of his ministry. That's where he saw God do things that he'd never seen before. And the only reason he went to Samaria is because persecution, things were being stirred up in Jerusalem. I wonder what would have happened if Philip had refused to leave Jerusalem. If he said, no, this is where it started. I'm going to fight this opposition. You see, I realize there are some times that we got to dig our heels in and stand our ground. But sometimes we got to step back and say, God, what are you trying to do in my life? I'm not going to be so hard-headed and try and hold on to this job, hold on to this relationship, hold on to this ministry, hold on to this attitude. I can see, Lord, you trying to close that door. I trust, Lord, that you lead me and that you guide me. You got to stay open for change. Job said in Job 29, verse 18, Job said, then I said, I shall die in my nest. Now think about what we just read about the eagle stirring its nest. See, Job got his house just like he wanted it. He had a successful business. Everything was going great. He was finally comfortable. And then what happened? God stirred his nest. Now, I'm not saying God sent the trouble. God didn't send the trouble. But God will allow that difficulty only if it can further us toward our divine destiny. And if you can just keep the right perspective, some of you, like Philip, you've been pushed out of Jerusalem. You've had some closed doors, and you're kind of down and a bit discouraged. But you need to take heart. You know why? Samaria is about to open up to you. God will never close a door unless he's about to open another door. And if you stay in faith, it'll be a bigger and a better door. God never performs his greatest feats in our yesterdays. So quit being discouraged over what didn't work out. Someone might have lied about you. You might have lost a loved one. You might have lost a job. You've got to shake that off. You've been through the fire. You've been through the flood. You've been through the famine. Now it's time for favor. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 66. We went through the fire. We went through the flood. But you brought us to a place of great abundance. Sometimes you go through the fire. Sometimes you go through the flood. But let me tell you, God is faithful to bring you out to a better place. It's time for increase. It's time for God to do the new things that He's about to do. That stirring is a sign that transition's coming. God's about to take you to a new level in your life. We all love it when God opens doors, but sometimes our closed doors do us more good. Because if God hadn't closed that door, we would have been satisfied to stay where we are. Sometimes the reason God closes doors is so that we cannot go back. That's what happened when God parted the Red Sea, when He brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. God opened up the Red Sea. The Israelites crossed through on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army attempted to. The sea closed, and Pharaoh and all his army were drowned. But what is, you know, that was important, but what really mattered is when God closed that door on the Red Sea, there was no going back. And sometimes they wanted to go back. They complained, let's go back to Egypt. But they knew that door had been closed. There's no going back. Some of you right now, you're fighting change. You're trying to hold on to the familiar. If it could just be like it used to be. If it could just be like the good old days. God is saying, let go of that. Maybe that season is over. Not that it wasn't a good season, but we can't stay there forever. It's time to move forward. This is a new day. God has new victories in front of you. He's got new mountains to climb. He's got new friendships to make. He's got new businesses for you to start. God's trying to get you out of your nest. He's stirring you out of your nest because He wants you to soar. And as you begin to take these steps of faith, you'll discover that you have gifts that you never knew you had. You're going to go places you never dreamed. You're going to do things you never thought you could do because God's dream for your life is bigger than your dream. And so often we stay where it's familiar, especially when we're having difficulties. We run back to where it's comfortable. There are even foods called comfort foods. Am I the only one who knows about this? These are foods you eat when you're feeling a bit stressed out. I can tell some of you have been stressed out. These are foods that we ate when we were growing up. They make us feel good, secure. They remind us of the good old days, like pizza, hot dog, and fried chicken, and ice cream. And, you know, Tom makes homemade ice cream. If you have never tasted his homemade ice cream, I tell you, you haven't lived. When we get stressed out, does anyone get in the mood to go eat a salad when you feel stressed out? No, that doesn't do it. Human nature always takes us back to the old. It's time to accept change. Stay open. Once God is done with something, it's never going to be like it was before. Maybe you think, well, it sure was good back then. Let me tell you, it's going to be even better days ahead. Amen. Don't keep going back. Don't keep going back in your mind, in your thoughts, in your attitude. It's not healthy to constantly relive how it used to be. If a door is closing, that means God's giving you grace to move forward. You've got to dust yourself off. Get ready for the new thing God's about to do. You were created to soar. You have a set of eagle's wings waiting on you. Just like that mother eagle stirs the babies out of the nest and forces them to use their wings, God is going to stir us out of our nest. Amen? And when doors close and change is taking place, you've got to keep the right perspective. That's stirring. That's God preparing me to go to a new level. That's God trying to get you to spread your wings so you can soar. Don't hold on to the old. Don't cling to the familiar. Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to try something new. Or maybe you're at a place where the door completely closed and you can't go back. Don't get negative and bitter. This is a new season. Face it with faith. Stay filled with hope and expectation. When people leave your life, let me tell you, it's time to advance. When Moses died and he left Joshua, and Joshua took over from Moses, it was a big change. I mean, it was daunting. How'd you like to take over from Moses? Joshua 1 verse 1, God said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land that I'm giving you, the children of Israel. He said, this is my command. Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Say, the Lord is with me wherever I go. Say, I will not be afraid, and I will not be discouraged, because the Lord is with me wherever I go. When God called Abraham to his destiny of going to the promised land that God said he was giving to him, the scripture says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that he would give him as his inheritance. Now notice this. It says, Abraham, he went not knowing where he was going. See, that's faith. That's why it calls Abraham a hero of faith. Because Abraham left everything he knew. He left his family. He left his relatives. He left his home. And he went and followed God, not knowing where he's going. See, faith is when you trust God. You trust that God is leading you, even when you don't know where you're going. See, if you'll learn not just to accept change, but to embrace change, God promises he'll do a new thing. And God's new is always much better than the old. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. See, I'm doing a new thing. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. See, you got to stay open to what God is doing now, what he wants to do now. When the Israelites were in the desert, on their way to the promised land of milk and honey, God gave them manna. Manna fell from the sky. But that was temporary provision. It wasn't permanent provision. The scripture says in Joshua 5:12, then the manna ceased. On the day after they had eaten the produce of the land and the children of Israel, they no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The land of milk and honey. You see, the manna stopped coming because God wanted them to move forward into the promised land where they would have permanent provision. God had something much greater and much better for them. Are you with me? When God removes provision, it's because he's preparing you for prosperity. God removed the temporary provision of the manna because he was preparing them for permanent provision in the land of milk and honey. Manna was just temporary provision, not the promise. Don't be surprised when God removes the manna because he's preparing you for the land of milk and honey. Now, we're going through some changes here at Ascend Church. We're facing some changes here. Some doors have closed and some new ones have opened. We sold this building. We signed the contract yesterday to sell this building. Now, we have been believing the Lord. We've been trusting God. I've been trusting God. Jill has been trusting God for a debt-free building. Now, we have a $3 million mortgage on this building, and we've only been paying interest, no principal, because that's all that we could afford. And we've been in here for 4 years now. And I believe God is directing us. I believe we're coming out of this better than ever. I believe God's making a way now. I'm trusting the Lord. He's guiding me step by step. I don't know everything in the future. I am not God. I am human like you are. But God leads me and speaks to me. And I've been following him for 40-something years, and he's never let me down once. And I know God's up to something. We started having people interested in this building. We were even thinking of selling it. We had investors call us and all kinds of people want to buy it. And I'm like, Lord, are you in this? Are you in this? And the thing is, this building has become, you know, sometimes a blessing can become a burden. it's become a bit of a burden because we're spending so much. It costs us so much to be in this building, but if you add it all up. And we started getting these offers. And anyway, make a long story short, I believe the Lord is guiding us. So Christ Fellowship Church bought the building next door. They bought the gym a month or two ago. And they came to see us, and they wanted to buy this building. And we prayed and prayed and prayed about it, and they made us an offer where we're going to walk away with a substantial amount of money. Now, 5 years ago, we didn't have any money. 5 years ago, we had no money. We're going to walk away from this with about $900,000 in the bank. And not only that, it's going to take a pressure off of us. Secondly, we have found another building to have church in. Now, what we're doing is there's a church around the corner. It's called the Sanctuary Church. And if you go down to the next light at Home Depot, it's on that street. We used to be in that building. I renovated that space. In 2004, it was an empty building, and we went in and we totally renovated it. And we were there for 5 years. And then another church went after us, and now Sanctuary is the third church to be in that building. It seems like God's using me to help build churches around Jupiter. I never planned it. But like, I'm so glad that this building's going to remain a church. I'm glad about that. So we built out that building, and as I was praying and we were preparing to sell, I thought, what should we do? I don't want to rush into leasing a building or rush. I believe God's got a deal for us. I believe we're going to find a building. It's going to be an amazing, amazing deal, and we're going to have a substantial deposit to put down. When we bought this building, we had no money to put down. Or, I don't know, maybe we buy some land and we build a building out in the farms. I just know God's up to something. Because the way this whole sale went through was really supernatural. I mean, we sold it and we're closing in 2 weeks' time with a cash deal. So I just want to let you know some changes are taking place. We are going to be in this, but we're going to be here till the end of August. At the end of August, we're moving out. Now, so I went and I felt the Lord stirring me to call the pastor at Sanctuary Church. His name's Tullian. He is Billy Graham's grandson. Now, when he came and started his church in Jupiter, he came to see me. And he wanted to rent this building. And I was willing to give it to him, to rent it to him. But then it just turned out that this other building became available, and they decided to do that. And the Lord reminded me, it's amazing what you do for others. What you sow, you reap. We've got a Spanish church that we let use this building. We charge them a small rental because I want to be a blessing. I want to help churches. And I hate to see a building sit empty all week. I mean, we use this building on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, it sits empty. And I think that's a waste of space and money. So I love the fact that we have another church that's sharing it with us. So I've been willing to let other churches use this building. And now here we are. I'm asking if we can. And so I met with Tullian, and he was very, very nice. And he said, we'd love to help you. So we are going to be having church at their building at least for a little while. I want to take a little breather, let the Lord lead us, because I believe something's going to come up. It's something out of the blue, and we're going to be blown away when it happens. So I just want to let you know that we are going to be here till the end of August, Sunday morning as normal, but starting September, we will be moving location, and it's a really great building. It's very similar to this. It's just around the corner, literally, and so it looks like, of course, we will not be able to do Sunday morning because they have their service on Sunday morning, and there's no way of working around it. So we are going to either we'll be doing Saturday evening or Sunday evening, one of those two. And it'll be at 6 p.m., either on Saturday or on Sunday at 6 p.m. Now, I'm hoping and praying that all of you that call Ascend Church your home, I'm hoping that you'll move with us. I'm hoping that you'll stay with us. I'm hoping you'll support us and watch and see what the Lord does. Because we are going to come out of this. We're going to have a story, and we're going to have a testimony. This building will still be used for a church, but I believe God is making a way for us to have our building that is debt-free. Amen. So when you came in today, you were given a little card, a survey. I'm asking, please, I would love to know, help us to determine whether we should have Saturday service or Sunday. So I want you to please fill out the survey. Now, you only check one box, okay? Only one. Now, the one I'm hoping you will check is, it says, number one, put your name. You don't have to put your name, but I would appreciate it if you did. First, I can attend on Saturday at 6 p.m. Or I can attend on Sunday at 6 p.m. Or I can attend either one. Now, that's what I'm hoping you'll all say. I'm hoping everybody says, Pastor Steve, I can attend either one. Or I cannot attend either one. So if you are able to attend either Saturday night at 6 or Sunday at 6, please check. Just check. I can attend either one. If you can only attend either Saturday or Sunday, check which one works for you. And if you cannot attend either, I would like to know that if you're not able to come to either one of those services. So if you would please fill that survey out and put it in the, give it back to us, leave it on the counter, hand it to Dimini as you walk out of the service today. You could leave it on your chair, give it to her. But I really believe, family, God is doing a new thing in your life, in our church. You might have had victories in the past, but I believe that your greatest victories are still in your future. I believe that you have not laughed your best laugh yet. You have not lived your best year yet. You're going to rise higher and higher, and the winds you thought were going to destroy you are going to be the winds that push you into a new level. You're going to see God take you places you never thought about. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you for all you've done in my life. And I thank you, Lord, for all you will do in my future. I thank you, Lord, that you're directing my steps. Say, I choose to embrace change. Not knowing, I know you always have good things in store for me. Say, I choose to embrace change because I know, Lord, you have good things in store for me. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Are you excited about this? Well, I am, because I really believe the Lord is leading us, guiding us. His favor is on us. And he's got something exciting and better for us in the future. Amen. So, won't you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray as we close today. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you are faithful. You are true. We thank you, Lord, that you are for us. You are with us. And we do not have to fear. We do not have to be discouraged. No matter what we face, we know, Lord, you take what was meant for our evil and you turn it for our good. We thank you, Lord, like an eagle stirs its nest, so the Lord leads his people. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a new thing. And Lord, we are willing to follow you, to follow your plan, your purpose, your destiny in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed, your eyes closed, we never ever close a service without giving people an opportunity, without praying for people, giving people an opportunity to just make sure that all is right, that all is well between you and God. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, if you were to die today, if you say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I'm not sure what would happen to me. Let me tell you, there is a heaven that awaits you. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Heaven is real. Hell is real. What would happen to you if you were to die tonight? Would you go to heaven? Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I sure hope I would. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I can't say that I know for sure that I would go to heaven. Let me tell you, you can know that for sure. You can know that for certain. You can know that all is right between you and the Lord. And you can be assured that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, just slip your hand up, lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. I want to ask everyone who raised your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10, in verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want you to say that with me. Everybody, say this prayer. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your only Son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. And I declare, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say it. Say, I surrender my life to you. From today, I will follow you, Jesus. You are Lord of my life. Say, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I am your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, I believe right now that God heard that and that you're saved and that heaven is where you'll spend eternity and the Lord is with you. He's for you. He's in you. If you raised your hand, I want to ask you just to remain for a couple of minutes. We have a gift we want to give you before you go home. Amen. But praise God, everybody. Are you glad you came to church today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them, get ready for change. God's opening some new doors for you, stirring some things up. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday. We got 5 more weeks in this building, and then we're going to move to our new place. So God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.